Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
I couldn't even recognize myself in the mirror, and I felt so ashamed that I was so broken.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country and the official podcast for the New York, California, and Florida restaurant shows, the Pizza Tomorrow Summit, and the U.S. Culinary Open at NAFEM. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. Email us to learn more. info@thewalkandtalk.com. Today's episode is one of those that goes beyond the plate. We're talking purpose, people, passion. Joining me is a powerhouse in hospitality media, someone who's been on the front lines of changing how we view this industry, our beloved industry. She's a mompreneur, a creative producer, and founder of Hospitality Bites Media, a brand that uplifts the human side of hospitality. Through her podcast, Hospitality Bites, she sparked honest conversations around mental health, burnout, and inclusivity while offering a new vision of what sustainable success in this industry can look like. I'm proud to say, this is breaking news, people. I am proud to say that Hospitality Bites is now officially part of the Walk and Talk media family. And that is correct. You'll find Colleen's episodes published right here on our feed. Her voice, her mission, her movement, it all aligns with everything we stand for here at Walk and Talk. In studio today, let's talk food here for a minute, guys. Oh my God. In studio, bringing the heat to the kitchen, is Chef CG Castro, founder of Domestic Gourmet. CG's story is all heart, from her Cuban, Puerto Rican American roots to her role as culinary innovator. She's been cooking up some stuff here in the, it still smells great and I love it. She's going to talk about the big flavor, the big food that was prepared here in this studio. CG, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
First things first. All right, let's get this out of the way. We had a chef that was supposed to be here today. And, you know, things happen in the industry. And we had to reschedule. No big deal. I put out
a bolo.
A bolo, CTA to the, you know, social media stratosphere. And what happened?
So my friend, Jana Tamargo, she also follows you. She's the founder of Authentic Food. And I don't think that she knew that I have been following you for years. She's like, CG, opportunity, Thursday. And I think it was like 10 minutes after you posted, I'm like, I'm available, because it just so happened that morning, my nanny called. She's like, I'm available. So the stars aligned and here I am.
It's the truth. And, you know, just moments, moments after you reached out, and it was pretty quick. Like we basically, got the checkbox marked real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Ricardo Castro, he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And I'm like, "Let's put you on a date coming up, man." They're great people.
They obviously. Are wonderful.
Rosanna
Chef Rosanna is a woman that I look to as one of my first mentors. I met her years ago at Savor St. Pete. And then after the pandemic, at the Edition Hotel, there was an event called Femmes in Food. And I met her there. And she talked about how, she's been, a pioneer in this industry in Tampa Bay, and she's available to mentor. And I have to say, where I'm at today is in big part because of her.
They are a terrific bunch of people.
They are.
And,
salt of the earth.
And a culinary powerhouse.
Yes.
I mean, they do some amazing stuff. Yeah. If you haven't heard of Chef Rosanna, she beat Bobby Flay. She was the first female chef to beat Bobby Flay. So just putting that out there. All right.
And with us her Puerto Rican empanadas.
And it was time. She brought them here. She made them here. Oh my God, they're so good.
Yeah.
Stop it. I can't eat anymore. I don't fit into my clothes. I just want everyone to realize that I eat well. All right.
Yeah.
Chef,
yes.
What did you make today?
Today I made pasteles, which is an indigenous food to Puerto Rico. Domestic gourmet I am passionate about preserving ancestral cooking. So I'm really honored to have showcased that today. But also, I'm a CPG brand now, and my whole angle is creating these traditional staples and making them convenient for modern families. So another dish that I did today was an elevated version of the Elena Cruz. And that was to honor our friends at Aussie Select and their killer lamb ham. I ate a lot of that this morning, and I'm so proud to say that I'm going home with half a ham. Like, I love
you
it.
Didn't tell the truth. You did not expect that was going to be as good as it was.
No, I love lamb. And, I have to say, 40% of the time that I eat it, sometimes it's a little too gamey for me. This was the cleanest lamb ham. Just the cleanest lamb that I've had, but in like a cold cut form, I could live off this stuff.
Yeah, it's juicy and tasty, and it's really terrific. Just so everybody knows what we're talking about, it is a fully cooked, cured, lamb loin. Delicious. So you could do charcuterie,
And it's clean.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It is so clean. And the thing about it is like I've been pulling back from cold cuts because of just all the terrible ingredients in them. And they're not, they're not the best choice. And I have stage 4 endometriosis. It's really important that I eat clean. And this is going to satisfy my love of sandwiches and also not hurt me.
What's more about the dishes today?
Okay, so my idea for elevating the Elena Cruz was to use this lamb ham and still kind of prepare it similarly on the medianoche bread, but I had some marmelada de toronja, which is true to my, to me, who I am as a Cuban Puerto Rican American. I made traditional Cuban candied grapefruit, right? But then I added the Puerto Rican spices. So after that, with the peel, I made the marmalade from the juice, and I used the same spices. So I used that instead of their typical strawberry preserves, and then we elevated the cream cheese with a nice melted brie.
There's really not a lot to say about it other than the sandwich is gone. I usually have leftovers.
The sandwich is gone, and so is most of the marmalade, guys.
Yeah, I usually bring stuff home for my mother-in-law. She loves it. Like when I, on production days, mm-hmm. I walk in the door, and she's like, Carlo, she's looking at me like, what do you got? And I'm, sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
Hey, you're out of luck today.
There's not a lot of marmelada left, but you should take it to her. She will enjoy it. Then I made the pasteles. So the pasteles, it was important to me to showcase that today because it is a piece of oral history typically passed down from the women in the family. And it's not really something that you can learn online. Although many people have tried and some people try to learn online. This is something that is typically done once a year before the holidays. All the women in the family will gather. It takes typically 2 days to make. It's labor intensive. A lot of love goes into it. And there's a lot of different components as well, but I just happened to be ready.
So when the photos that John
Did. I was so surprised by those. Okay, so let me preface this.
What? What do you mean surprised?
Okay, hold on. But let me preface this by saying that if you're not familiar with a pastele, it is, think of it as kind of like when I tell people who don't know what pasteles are, but they know what tamales are, it's kind of like that, but made with bananas, green bananas. And when you boil them, it is a brown rectangle. It's not typically a beautiful dish as much as it is delicious. So I did have some reservations about the photography, but I felt like it was important for me as someone who works really hard to preserve ancestral cooking to show something that was authentic to my roots and then, you know, also showcase something that was modern.
John, you did it again.
Oh my gosh. When I walked into that back room and he was photographing, I could not believe it. I had to call my husband in and just show him because I have never seen a more gorgeous pastel in my whole life. It was just, you are so talented, sir.
Look, he's blushing. Do you see it? You see it? Look at him.
We did. I do have to say that we did get into a little bit of a scrabble here because I know that this is a hot button topic, and that is to put ketchup or not to put ketchup. And I know that this is going to really upset some people, but I am team ketchup.
John is anti like anything new. It's gotta be, you know.
Well, John is Puerto Rican. He has every right to stand on this hill. But I will say that I gave him two and I said one with ketchup, one without. You know, we'd both be happy. And when I went into the studio, I'm like, where's the ketchup?
Did you try it?
No, he did not try the one with ketchup.
Gosh. All right.
Look, you are welcome back to this place.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you.
That you feel like bringing any of these things or anything you want to cook in the future.
I appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely. You're more than welcome. Okay, let's welcome Colleen to the program.
Hello. I'm just like sitting here listening to this food and I'm like, man, that sounds like a much better day than mine.
Well, you know, this is the life we've chosen. And, you know, I don't feel
That's
bad.
That's incredible.
I don't feel bad. Like we're living the dream here, Colleen. Okay. Like this is a dream.
Sounds
we're
getting, like it.
Yeah.
I had crackers for lunch. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Would you call me? So listen, look, here's the thing, Colleen, let's start with how did we meet? We met at NAFM and it was really, it was like a blessing that we met. And do you remember what went down? Do you know the story?
All right. Well, I know I did. I told my ambassador friends from Canada and UK, I said, we need to go over and talk to those guys. Let's bring them some water. So I just walked over a few cases of water, placed it down and introduced myself. And then I see like the rest is history.
So Colleen is an ambassador for the Burnt Chef Project. And most recently, one of our newest partners to the show. It's an amazing story because this was just back in February that we were at this trade show. And, you know, John and Pooch and, you know, Glenn and some of the others, the gang, we were out there just, you know, it's like you get your head down to the grinder and you're working. And I know that we were all dehydrated. You came through with like four cases of water, you know, and you just, I don't know if it was you or Jamie, somebody just dropped them off and like, hey, here you go, guys. And that's where our beautiful relationship started.
Simple, right? Just doing the kindest thing of, hey, I think they look dehydrated. This, we've got this offering. We kind of have the same vibe. Let's just drop off and see what happens.
I want to start with Burnt Chef Project before we get into Hospitality Bites. What led you to get into Burnt Chef?
Well, it was actually through Hospitality Bites. Two of my former guests, one was from the UK, one was from Canada. They were ambassadors, Jim and Shell, and they had two very different experiences of why they joined. And the more I learned about it, I was essentially blown away that there was an organization that was working to train people to learn about how to handle issues within a restaurant industry, something I had never seen before at this point. I was trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. I had a daughter at home. I had recently suffered a miscarriage, and I said, I want to go all in on what they're doing. I need a purpose beyond myself. And that's essentially what happened. I reached out, I applied and did the coursework, joined in 2022. And then things slowly started to evolve throughout my work with them, wanting to find a bigger purpose in the United States. And that's how it started to grow. A bunch of us started to network together on LinkedIn, Instagram, and then they put a call out for people to attend NAFM. And Tom, our leader out of Canada, made it happen. And that was the first time a lot of us met in person in North America. So it took from 2020 till February for all of us to meet.
Well, I'm glad that that happened. And Tom's a good dude too. I appreciate him very much. What sparked the idea for you to jump into the world of media?
So like everyone in the restaurant industry, my income came to a screeching halt. And I used to fly back and forth from Charleston to Chicago for work to help operate and run a restaurant. Well, I also was pregnant, lost my income, spent the entire pregnancy in lockdown. And when the world reopened for me in 2021, it was that summer, a lot of people that I knew in the industry were not doing well. And there was this huge uptick, though, of media content where people were infatuated with what's going on in the food world. I think it's a level of comfort that people were looking for. They missed dining out. They wanted to watch people cook. And you see the celebrity status explode from you know where. And one thing that wasn't happening, though, is people were talking about the repercussions of not being together within our industry. So many of us are people, and we need each other to thrive. I had lost a friend. I attended a meeting with the Chow Network, and we talked about a lot of us losing people during the pandemic because they were left to their own vices, unfortunately. A lot of alcoholism, drug use, simply depression. And I didn't want to be sitting on the sidelines while this was happening. So I just started talking about the not perfect stuff. Not that the industry was broken, that it's all bad, but there's a lot of things that needed to be discussed. And I had some friends on the show. And next thing I know, people were interested in talking about the not perfect side of the industry. I leaned into being vulnerable. I leaned into storytelling, the ability to get people to tell me things they typically wouldn't say. And then it just sort of took off. And that's how I got guests from the UK and Canada. I was going to Ireland and Australia, you know, just really wonderful to get a global community with of like-minded people that want to share their experiences within hospitality.
You describe yourself as a hospitality hustler. What does that mean to you today versus, you know, 10 years ago?
10 years ago, calling hospitality hustler was living the restaurant life, you know, the rinse repeat cycle, eat, drink, sleep, little industry, never giving to myself. A lot of us have that work in the restaurant industry. We are all about it. We want to give everything we have to it. Screeching halt came for me 10 years ago. Had to really reevaluate who I was as a person, as a woman, what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a leader. I wanted to be a better version of myself. So hospitality hustler today is someone that found their ability to give back in the hospitality industry by creating their own lane. Opened my own doors. I've broken open. I like to say I'm breaking down doors. And depending on how you view it, I'm making as many connections as possible. I'm breathing life into my business to the best of my ability, truly making my own path. So the hospitality hustler today is someone that is successful, proud of themselves. I'm really encouraged at what's going to happen. Hospitality hustler 10 years ago, she needed a lot of work. She was not giving to herself in any way, shape, or form.
You see, there's a long way to go in our industry, but there's been changes. Mm-hmm. What have you seen since you started Hospitality Bites Media?
We started it 4 years ago now. There seems to be a lot more voices that are unafraid to talk about how things used to be. I use like air quotes saying we're the adults in the room now. And a lot of us are parents or seasoned parents. We had to be home with our kids during the pandemic. We really reevaluated what the industry was like and how unhealthy it was for us. And we are now the adults in the room. So we want to make a change. So should our children enter it or the next generation that's coming up in culinary school, we're making it a safer, more sustainable place. So it's really interesting that 4 years ago, not everyone wanted to talk about this sort of thing, where now people are confident saying, I'm sober and I operate in the industry and I feel a bit safer to do so. It isn't as this, well, I guess we had a good moment, you know, in 2020 and we're all taking care of ourselves. You know, pandemic life and what that was like and getting back to work, we're addressing what it was and we're making changes and people are putting their money where their mouth is, truly. We're not just saying we want to make it a healthier place. People are investing on making it a healthier place, whether it's equipment or coursework that we offer at the Burnt Chef Project, Cal, Ben's friends. People are investing in their employees, which is incredible.
Colleen, the Burnt Chef Project, it's a big deal. It's all over the world. Are you guys affiliated or connected with any other self-help resources that are out there?
Our founder, Chris, he actually sits on the board at Chow, which is the Culinary Hospitality and Outreach Wellness Program. They started in Colorado and now they're across the nation. And we have several ambassadors that attend Ben's Friends community that meets both virtually and in person. More organizations that we connect with and work together, it's only for the better. It's not a competition to help people. And so the more that we can find, there's other great organizations that we're starting to learn about here in the U.S. specifically that are of the same mindset. So we are hoping to help amplify working together these other organizations.
Well, I think that's amazing. And if anything that we can do as your North American media partner to help promote any of that, obviously we want to be a part of it.
We appreciate them. And we do have this hope of creating a bigger project, no pun intended, for 2026. Have a ton more activations, get people out into the field, in the restaurants, in the hospitality sector, alongside our friends at the other organizations. So trust me, you're in the plans.
We've had guests ranging from rising chefs to industry veterans. Do you have any stories that kind of stuck with you that are important to you that you want to talk about?
One story in particular was from a guest, and he's from New York. He was a chef, and he was up until a year ago, he was running a not-for-profit organization. And he told me that his wake-up call, so to speak, was him in his car, covered in vomit outside of his car, and not remembering that he had been there. And he, after working a long shift, so he had spent the night in his car and he was woken up, I believe, by a police officer. And he shared that story and his social media manager was on the call too. And I'm looking at him and he goes, exactly. He goes, do you know how hard it was for me to look at myself? And then I had to go into work the way that I was because it was time to go. And I wanted to be at rock bottom, but it wasn't. And those types of stories, his story, when he shared that, was like, there isn't just one rock bottom. These things pile on for people. And our industry is really good at piling on. And he's so open and so vocal about how hard that was for him to get help. He wanted to make a difference. He didn't want other chefs to be going home or going to their cars or going to a ditch, feeling the same way. And I really appreciated him sharing that, especially with an employee of his on the call. You know, it's not always easy to share our worst side of ourselves with people that work for us. We work alongside them. But it's so important, I think, to many of us to do that. And his story is just one of those that really is like, man, you thought you had it rough. That just sounds awful. But he's doing something with it. And his story 100% has stuck with me the last couple of years. His story obviously was one that just sits with you and it makes you think about that could be me. I could have been that person. I personally got a DUI in 2015 and I could have been on the side of the road. And I really take a lot of pride that people trust me with stories like that. And they feel comfortable enough to share with me their rock bottom, like I said, and I can share back my rock bottom. You know, we kind of commiserate over that. And we just hope that it makes people feel seen and there's an impact or a little bit of a ripple to maybe make someone, okay, I want to reach out and get help to them, or I want to find their organization that they're a part of. It's only been, truthfully, I feel so empowered and so privileged to have people share their stories like that with me.
Let's talk about your mompreneur life. How do you balance the emotional intensity of raising a family and still being connected to the food industry?
If you'd asked me that question 8 months ago, I would have told you I'm completely broken. I had such a stark difference between my two children and what that postpartum looked like navigating the industry. With my daughter, the world was shut down, but when it came back up, I was out there working. I was even helping a friend run a restaurant. I would bring my daughter to the restaurant. She thought it was normal to be in a pub. It was easy. It felt normal because I wanted her to see her mom at work. Fast forward to last year, I couldn't even recognize myself in the mirror. And I felt so ashamed that I was so broken. Friends were encourage you, why don't you just go get a job and wait tables a couple days a week just so you're out of the house and socializing. I didn't even feel comfortable that I could socialize with people. And that's what I'm great at. I'm great at talking. I didn't even know how to do that. I was afraid of breaking every day. I was afraid of embarrassing myself. And when you're a mom, everyone depends on you. It's just this weird expectation. And when you feel like you can't give it to your children back and you can't give it to your business, you feel like an utter failure. And I felt like a complete failure last year. I was trying so hard to keep pushing through with my podcast. I was trying to continue with Burnt Chef. And at one point I felt that I wasn't even worth being here. And that's when I said, okay, I need to do something with this. And I used all of that mom strength that I felt like I didn't have last year to go all in on moving this podcast forward, moving forward documentaries, sharing my story. So the next mompreneur, like Chef on the Line, when you're killing it in the industry, I also know how hard it is and how you're killing it at home too. And I want people and women to feel the same way that I feel now. And if they felt the way I felt a year ago, I understand that too.
Wow. I have to tell you that it's very emotional hearing you talk because, you know, I think that you are a very powerful woman. And
thank you.
And I think that you are absolutely incredible. And the work that you're doing is just, it's an incredible example for your children, for your family, and for everyone who knows you. Because I think for women in particular, no offense, guys, you're going to have to sit this one out. I think that, you know, as mom and women, we have to carry the load and carry it effortlessly. You said we have to be there for everybody. And if we don't, then we're not a good mother. And if we acknowledge our failure or our struggles, then, you know, that opens a whole nother can of worms. So there is, I think, as women, you know, it's natural to suffer in silence and suffer alone and not admit that we are struggling. And the fact that you know, not only were able to admit it to yourself so that you could change your path, but also admit it on a global scale publicly is such a gift, because I know right now, and it makes me emotional because I've been there where you needed to hear a message and you heard it. Mm-hmm. It was exactly what you needed. That's what you just did right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that. You actually mentioned that you suffer through endometriosis. My documentary called Unhospitable. And I'm talking about all the things that women suffer through in silence within the industry. You know, a lot of us start as teenagers and we're going through those changes. We go through changes our entire lives. And one thing that people don't understand is endometriosis, PCOS, postpartum, pumping, all the P words that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah. And miscarriages, you know, I empathize with you on that one.
Thank you. Right. And I've learned that through this documentary and making this and sharing my story, which I don't feel comfortable watching myself on camera, which I have learned, it is hard to share your story and see it back. It makes you relive those moments.
It's very triggering.
I truly believe 100% that you feel, it feels out of body when you watch yourself back and reshare it and be like, wow, I lived through that. But I'm here today, because truly the person I saw a year ago, I don't even recognize her. My husband didn't, my children didn't. And I have not been this happy in a really long time, and creating this documentary and hoping to create resources to have people understand what women are going through and how we're suffering through pain in silence when they're on the line, if they're a chef, just educating, this is what it feels like, being able to offer a break, offer water. Are you eating healthy? You said it. I mean, you hit the nail on the head about what your diet looks like. These are all things I'm hoping to accomplish. And my podcast is how it got me there. I felt so, wow, I can do this. I can share stories. And thank goodness for Carl believing in me to bring my podcast there and help amplify not just my documentaries, House Value Bites Media, but my podcast through Walk and Talk. So it's just a really wonderful full circle moment. And I'm very privileged that you're on the line on this call with Carl too.
Likewise.
For the record.
You can come back, Carl.
Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you. I'm back. For the record, Colleen, when we met,
yes,
and you shared a little bit about, you know, who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and you shared a little bit of your story with me, And the way that you delivered the message, the way that you delivered the information, I received it very well. And you know, I feel like I'm pretty good reading people. I've always said that's one of my superpowers. You seemed so sincere, and your message, and everyone has someone that they can identify with that has the same sort of challenges that you have. It just so happens that we work in media. And now there's a way that what we do can literally or potentially help somebody. So I feel like it was meant to be. I feel like there was some divine guidance that put you where we are. And, you know, I think we're going to do, you know, the good work together.
I agree. You can't tell that I'm smiling.
That you have found your way back to happiness, though. That's very powerful.
Thanks.
That's important, too, you know, to share the struggles, but also share that you can find your way back.
Exactly. I did not believe I could. So that's what's so wild watching my video content back from the first portion documentary. I see how broken I was. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I lived through that. But here I am, and I'm super honored and proud that I made it. And that sounds super, I know, catastrophic. I made it, but I did, because that's how bad I was.
In the documentaries, can you give us a preview of what you're doing?
Absolutely. I decided I wanted to go in the documentary space from visual storytelling. I wasn't really a movie kid buff growing up, but as I got older, I liked watching documentaries on TV. And my husband gifted me something for Christmas, and I learned about documentary storytelling and how watching someone share their story physically makes you change. It makes you feel something. And I've really leaned into that side of storytelling. So the first up is Unhospitable, which is about women's health and hospitality industry. And my hope is not just creating the documentary, but also create free resources that go back to the restaurant industry and how to talk about these types of female-based medical issues that the restaurant industry that's predominantly actually in leadership roles are male, although it's 50% women. They don't know how to talk about that. That's not their fault. They've never lived it. And I really want people to feel that they can have a conversation without offending and be a better leader, chef, manager, operator within the industry. So it's more than documentary storytelling and making people feel something and people feel seen, but make a change and do something with it. Don't just have a voice, but create real powerful change.
What do you think is super important right now that, you know, that's not being talked about?
For me personally, because this is what I've lived, it's what it's like to be pregnant in the industry and then returning to work. There is so much talk about the baby when the baby is born that it is often overlooked that the person that gave this child life has gone through enormous changes. And a lot of women in restaurants and hospitality sector, they don't get paid time off. They may not even qualify for FMLA because of the hours they work. If they work part-time, their restaurant isn't obligated to give them FMLA. So they're going back to work within weeks of having a baby. It takes 9 months to grow one. And you really should not be lifting a keg when it goes out. You should not be running around the restaurant and not taking the water breaks that you need or taking time to sit down. The physical toll that your body has been through is something that's truly indescribable. Some people have tried to explain pumping, like running a marathon during the day, that it exerts that much energy. So can you imagine having to run a marathon on top of running a marathon of being in a restaurant? It doesn't make sense. So my hope is that when people see someone that's expecting in the industry, they have a plan in place. So should they choose to return to work if they need to return to work right away, what does that look like? Do you have modified schedules, modified job descriptions for that person? If they are a bartender and they are 8 months pregnant, are you able to break them to get off their feet? Like, these are all things that I hope to accomplish and make people not uncomfortable to talk about it. It happens every day. Your partner, your wife, your mother, they've all lived it. Have they all ran a restaurant at the same time? I don't necessarily know that. And I want people to understand that we want to be there. We're not disabled, although it's called disability when you take time off after a baby, which blows my mind. We're not disabled. We are able bodies that are producing another life, but just in a bit more accommodations because we love what we do.
I mean, obviously you have had a rough go at certain points in your life. And through those challenges and through the struggle, you have found an outlet in media. How has those challenges put you in a place mentally be able to talk about it now today on air?
I think because I was the person that I needed is how I'm doing it. I so desperately needed a role model in my early 20s when I was very confused in the industry. I was in a very unhealthy relationship and everyone around me knew that it was, but no one said anything. And as a mother now, if my daughter was ever in something where her coworkers were aware that she was in a dangerous situation and didn't say anything, I'm heartbroken. And as a leader in the hospitality industry, I've held very high titles. I want to make sure that people in the industry hear my voice. If you are a leader, these things are still happening. It is our job to make it a safer, more sustainable place. And I'm a lot more clear on what that looks like. It's about training properly. It's about providing breaks. It's about providing outlets to mental health services, encouraging exercising, finding other ways to engage with each other outside of work. And through the media sector of it all, it's my platform and I'm owning that. And I'm not as embarrassed to share what a degenerate I was in my 20s. But I was also a really broken young woman that could have used someone like me leading the charge instead of what I had with some other people. And the challenges that I'm facing now in motherhood are very relevant to people that are in leadership roles. And I want them to know that I'm here and I see them and I will keep sharing stories so everyone feels seen in some capacity. It's not just my voice, but those that are coming on my show, that there's a wide variety of diversity from different sectors of the industry too. And that's the other beautiful part about my podcast is I don't just specifically talk to restaurant people or chefs. I talk to literary agents. I talk to media personalities. I talk to bilingual boilerplate makers for people's websites. Like that's how niche I go in some of these guests. So everyone is seen somewhere. It's when you ask, I was kind of taking my breath away by that question. I don't know why that was hard to answer for me. I believe in this so much that I want to do it right and I want to be with the right people. And that's why I'm happy that Walk and Talk believes in this too. And I'm looking forward to what the future looks like.
What you're saying, Colleen, is that you're making yourself available to be a support system for those who need it. But also, this is like you are your own counselor. You're also hearing yourself talking about some of these things, and it helps you to kind of navigate through some of the struggles, some of what's left over from even, 15 years ago.
Definitely. We are all trauma bonded in the restaurant industry, and all of us have had some sort of trauma that have worked in it. And we get along with each other, even if we've never met because of that. We just understand that, hey, you probably went through something like I did. And for me, I definitely need to work through some of those things that I experienced and not be embarrassed because I'm not alone in that. I thought I was alone in a lot of these things, but that is not the case. Across the globe, everybody in the restaurant industry speaks the same language, no matter where you are. And I feel that so much now when I have people on my show or just through my work at the Burnt Chef Project. It's so cathartic for me.
So I'm curious to know, what was the catalyst to start the Burnt Chef Project?
So our founder, Chris Hall, he started taking photos truly in black and white in the UK of people in the industry. It started as a photo project and it took off. People were fascinated by this contrast of light and dark of what it's like in the industry. And then he started doing public speaking and talking about his own struggles. He actually was not a chef or anything like that. He sold to chefs. He was a rep. So he understood the world from a different side. The more he talked about it, the more he's like, oh, there's something here. There's a lot of people that are in a dark place. They're not doing okay. That was 6 years ago. And now it's a global organization, literally of ambassadors on every continent, including Antarctica. It's incredible what can happen in 6 years. And through the Burnt Chef Project, he realized that coursework was really needed, where we could go and talk to culinary schools, universities, talk about really triggering things that happen in the industry, substance misuse, how to manage your money, all the things that you need to be set up for success that may not have been talked about before. That is the Burn Chef Project, started by one guy in the UK taking pictures. It's truly remarkable.
That is remarkable. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah.
I want to spread the message, and I am a listener who's hearing about this for the first time today.
Well,
hey, that's awesome.
Well, not only that, Colleen, correct me if I'm wrong, you're looking to expand your ambassadorship here in North America, correct?
Yeah, we'll be opening up applications in October. We have a core team right now. We've got about 20 ambassadors in the U.S., about, I think, 20 in Canada now. The hope is that we'll be in different regions where we can then do activations, whether that's at a conference, whether that's at your local restaurant association, and host different events where we do these educational training that we also can train people in that they can then take into their establishment. It's all about passing the baton to the next person to spread the word. And then on the website, there's a phone number, a 1-800 toll-free number for anywhere in the world, your language to call that will connect you to a mental health crisis counselor. It may not be readily available within the minutes, but it will happen shortly thereafter. There's also a text option on WhatsApp. So if you go to theburnstackproject.com, there's free resources right now that people can have access to that don't even have to be a part of the Burn Stack Project movement.
It's incredible. Colleen, I want to know you. I definitely, you know, I'm an ambassador for the Endometriosis Foundation of America, which was founded by Padma Lakshmi and Dr. Sechkin. Dr. Sechkin saved my life 2 years ago. So, you know,
we will have to talk after this.
Yeah, I'm here to help as well. And you know, I know better than anybody, you know, what it's like to, like, I walk red carpets regularly. I've been in media and spotlight for years, and I would have an episode actually just in April going to Cherry Bomb's Jubilee. My husband had to nurse me every single night back to health because now my hormones are a wreck, and I would have migraines and I would be vomiting, and he would be there with the water, with the Excedrin, with the crackers, get me up, get me into hair and makeup, and get me back on. At the time, it was a pink carpet. So, like, nobody has any idea what we've gone through. And then there's no empathy because these are invisible, right? So every time you see me, you see a perfect 10. You don't see,
right,
you know, how I was 6 in the morning or 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I'm so thankful that, you know, you're in this space and you're out there, you know, talking about this and being there for other women to be like, hey, this is not normal. We don't have to suffer. And then bringing the message to men who are in leadership and who do have the platforms to turn around and be like, hey, listen, you know, we can provide this for you too.
Right. This is not against you or I. This is a we collective in the industry.
Absolutely.
And I want everyone to feel that they can have the conversation and not be embarrassed by it. No one should be embarrassed about everyday real life things. These are just, it's what we experience. And I feel more comfortable if you're like, oh, I understand you're going through something. How can I help? This is why it's so important is that the restaurant industry leaders that listen to this or chefs listen to this or that are part of just the food media world, you can't hide away from it because so many people are talking about it now. It's just, it's sometimes it's a blip in, like, oh, it's a blip in time. Everyone's talking about it and then it goes away. I really don't want to go away. That is truly my goal, is that so your story that you just shared is so loud everywhere that you can't go into a restaurant and be like, hey, did you hear about this chef that went through this? She's out of Florida and we should probably talk about this. That is my goal. So I hear you loud and clear. To give you a little bit of hopeful uplifting, when I shared a bit of my miscarriage from behind the bar and I shared it to a few men in the industry, it was like I brought tears to some tough cookies and brought them down. And I never thought about that. And I go, and 70% of women that suffer a miscarriage while they're at work don't tell anybody. And it happens in the restaurant industry a lot. I just happened to be behind the bar and I was on full display of like, oh no, what's happening? And so I have a lot of shame with that, but I feel very proud to be able to say that and not cry, but I'm getting other people's emotions going that they never once thought about something like that. So your story, I'm telling you, does matter and people are going to hear it.
Now that Hospitality Bites is with Walk and Talk Media, what can our collective audience expect from you?
Well, they can expect you as one of my guests, which is very exciting to get you on the other side. So I'm really actually excited about that, to have you share a bit of your story. No, truthfully, it's about what they're going to, what they should expect are people from all different parts of the industry and all different backgrounds sharing their ebbs and flows and what it's like, whether they started in culinary school, were they born into the industry like so many of us, some of the not great stuff, but also really highlight what their successes are and how they navigated that and what their hope is for the future. That is what I love about the show, is I really try to navigate in about an hour a life story to the best of their ability. And I think that it fits really well with the Walk and Talk crew. You bring the visuals, you bring the wonderful conversations there. And I'm just taking those people that are your listeners and giving them a different ride of a journey through the hospitality industry.
Well, I honestly, I'm super excited. You know, we've been talking about expanding our portfolio, if you will, for over a year, and you're the first. So, I mean, this is a big deal.
Deal for me.
Yeah, well, it's a big deal for all of us because we're growing, and the opportunities for good people to be a part of what I feel is good work. It's really great. It's satisfying. It feels nice. It's humbling. All of it's very cool. I would love to be a guest on your show. Most people don't care if I'm a guest on somebody's show or not. I don't know. Nobody asked me anything.
I care. Yeah.
I know you do. Thank you. We're having an air hug right now. Okay. Air hugs.
Perfect.
All right. Let's figure out when that's actually going to be. We can do that offline. In the meantime,
perfect.
How do people find you?
I'm at Domestic Gourmet everywhere.
Love that. Colleen, how do people find you?
HospitalityBites.com or at CA Silk or at Hospitality Bites.
And how do people find out about the Burnt Chef Project?
I encourage you to visit theburntchefproject.com or visit us on social media on all major platforms at The Burnt Chef Project.
Are we going to get Tom on the show anytime soon or what?
Let's bring the Canadian down. Absolutely.
I feel like we need some Canadian action here on the show. I mean, it's been a while. I can try to work on my my accent, you know?
Just throw in the A.
He's a cowboy Canadian.
Okay. Yeah, you know, something like that. All right. Listen, Chef, by the way. You are coming back, and you're going to do some other
sure.
food. Okay? Yeah. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like I want to be on Hospitality Bites, too, talk about more about the Burnt Chef.
We're going to make that happen. Ladies, it's been a pleasure. We are out.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.